Accurate date underground, July 28, 2007.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome. Spirit.
Welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground Podcast. I'm Peter Franson. You'd think I'd know how to say my own name. People have enough trouble with my first name. Now I'm having trouble with my last name. Peter Franson is my name, and I'm the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We exist to basically present the uncompromised truths of Scripture and in cool formats of sci-fi and fantasy. We're trying to create science fiction and fantasy that's really unsterilized and unsafe and just kind of unleashed. You know, that's kind of our little motto there. We don't do a whole lot of, or really any family-friendly stuff. We make sci-fi and fantasy for fans, hardcore fans of sci-fi and fantasy. Right now we're focusing mostly on audio drama. If you want to check out our stuff, you can go to www.spiritblade.net. Anyway, on with the podcast for today. Today we've got just an overview of the show. We've got Sean Anthony Roberts on the show today. And I'm going to look at John chapter 10, the rest of John chapter 10 this week. Just a little kind of rabbit trail here for a second. You got to check out Who Wants to Be a Superhero. If you haven't checked it out, it's a show, it's a reality show on Sci-Fi Channel, and the second season just started this last Thursday, and I watched the first season and I loved it. I hate reality TV shows, but this show is really great. You can check out more info on why it's great at patersbrain.blogspot.com. My name is spelled P-A-E-T-E-R, patersbrain.blogspot.com, and there's no www before that. I'll put it in the show notes, too, if I remember. There's no backbiting. Everybody's just trying to be noble and good, and it's fantastic television. Check out my little review over at patersbrain.blogspot.com, and then check it out for yourself. Two things I need your help with. One, I need some RPG recommendations. I just finished Final Fantasy XII this last Monday, and I've now been looking for a new game to play, and I've gone back and started an old game save of Final Fantasy VIII. I'm really digging it. I like some of the more traditional console RPGs, and I'm a PS2 guy. I've done some hack and slash like Diablo stuff on PC, and I do like Champions of Norrath. I've done Champions of Norrath, Baldur's Gate, you know, all the games for those. I've done Justice League Heroes and the Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I've got a game I'm probably going to buy next called Rogue Galaxy. I'm not going to buy it yet, but that'll probably be my next action RPG. But I need a classic RPG recommendation. That's like if you're a geek and you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about turn-based battle systems. And just good story and not too cheery, happy anime crap. Sorry if you're an anime fan. I'm an anime fan too, but not like the kind of, you know, just cheesy, everybody's laughing and, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. Just too happy. Too happy. Anyway, so if you want to send a console RPG recommendation to me, or even a PC recommendation to me, send it to pater@spiritblade.net, P-A-E-T-E-R, @spiritblade.net. I really kind of am in need of a fix. Final Fantasy VIII will do me for now, but I'd love to have another option after that. And then I also need suggestions for review format ideas. I talked about this before. When I do reviews, I don't want to use like stars, as in like 3 out of 5 stars. I like something that goes with our theme, but it's not cheesy. So if you have any ideas so that would go along with Spirit Blade or Underground or, you know, just something cool that's not lame and cheesy. If you have any ideas, I'd love them. I'd also love an alternate format for the thumbs up, thumbs down thing. Something that's good or bad, black or white. But that's not, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down like Ebert and Roper. So anyway, those, if you really would like to help me out with those, I'd love your suggestions. Send them on over to pater@spiritblade.net. And if you have any other suggestions about the show, things that that you think would be cool for me to try out, or, you know, things that I could do better or whatever, or just segments or ideas to add to the show, send them on over to me at pater@spiritblade.net. Or you can send them to info@spiritblade.net, and they'll get to me that way as well. All right, let's take a look at updates for this week.
Update information.
All right, last weekend was a great weekend of recording with Sean Anthony Roberts. He came into town to record the part of Salos, which is one of our antagonists in Dark Ritual. And he's the guy that's going to be on the show today. It was just very productive. His performance was just chilling, and you guys are going to love to hate him as he performs this this role. I'm very excited about it. I just could not be happier with how it all turned out, and I know I'm going to have a blast mixing those scenes together. It was just a real pleasure to work with him. He's you'll hear more about who he is in the interview, but so be sure and stick around for a few more minutes and check that out. And then this week we did open audition prep for Dark Ritual. All the main roles are getting close to being done recording, and there's some peripheral supporting roles that we're now opening up auditions for. So if you would like to say a few lines in Spirit Blade Dark Ritual, and you've got a microphone at home that you can record your lines into and then send it to us digitally, we'd love to have you audition for a part. If you want some audition information, send an email to either me, pater@spiritblade.net, request some audition info. Or send an email to info@spiritblade.net, and we'll get the same to you that way. But you're not obligated, of course, to audition just for asking for the information. But you know, if you don't want to, you could be sneaky this way. If you want some spoilers and kind of insider stuff on Dark Ritual, little tidbits of the script and characters, just contact us and ask for a submission audition info anyway, because there's some script cuts that are in the audition kind of packet info thing that we'll send to you in an email that contain little bits of scenes. So, but beware of spoilers. There are potential spoilers in that material. So, anyway, okay. So we're gonna move on to the interview that I had with Sean Anthony Roberts. You'll have to forgive if you hear any like wind blowing or, you know, air blowing on the mic a little bit. When we record in my office, we have to close the doors and turn off all the fans and everything. And after a long day of recording, it gets hot in here. So we blasted the fan at the end of all the recording. When we were done doing everything, I sat down and had this interview with him, and we just blasted the fan because we were both sweating. So I apologize for if there's kind of a reduction in the audio quality, but I think you guys will enjoy this interview. Check it out.
Primary feature.
So here we are in the monitor room.
Yes, we are.
And joining me is my friend Sean Anthony Roberts, who graced us with his presence in the Dark Ritual Project. So welcome, Sean. Thank you so much for being here.
Honored to be here.
We actually just finished up recording now, right? For Dark
yes,
Ritual?
Yes, we did. As far as I know, you're the boss.
Yeah.
So,
we're done. We are done.
We're done.
It's been a marathon weekend, and
my
we're done.
My voice is a little bit different than its normal
configuration.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
All right. So you in Dark Ritual played a character called Salos. Well, can you tell us a little bit about Salos, about his background? You know, who is he, and what's under what circumstances do our heroes run into him?
Well, I just remember that originally his name was going to be Paulos.
Yeah.
And that seemed like a cabana boy.
That's right, yeah.
So we went away from
yeah,
the
we
Paulos.
Yeah,
right?
No Paulos.
Salos is a member of a group called the Sanctafi. He's not only a member, he's the leader of the group, only second in command to a woman or a character only known by the name of the High Priestess. Mm. And so Salos has raised himself to the highest level of power, I guess you could say, amongst the Sanctafi. And, do you want my own work and history of him?
What are your impressions of Salos? What's he like? What are his strengths, his flaws?
To me, he's kind of an ultimate politician in a weird way, but also he's not a bad guy. In other words, like he's found justifications for everything that he's done to get to where he is in power, mm-hmm. because he really believes that what he's doing is good. He really believes in the God that the High Priestess has presented, mm-hmm. And so he believes. He's a zealot, as we talked about before.
Yeah.
He's a zealot,
mm-hmm.
Not unlike often what we see out in this world of people who are very passionate about their causes,
mm-hmm.
and maybe misguided or misdirected.
Mm-hmm. There's not truth or goodness in what their ideals are, but
right.
their methods of going about them are a little extreme and
right.
can kind of screw over other people.
In a sense, you could easily call him an Islamic fundamentalist or even a Christian fundamentalist.
Oh, Christian, yeah. I think of Christians that go to the freaking abortion clinics with picket signs and megaphones
exactly.
and, you know, all that
you
kind
know,
of stuff.
A guy who would bomb an abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And there you go.
Yep.
A guy who would bomb an abortion clinic in the name of God,
mm-hmm.
Because in his mind, he's doing what he thinks is actually what God would want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, without giving any of the story away, mm-hmm. Salos can do some pretty horrific things to people,
yeah.
In order to serve God.
Okay, so you've read the whole script, and even though when you record, it's just me that you're reading with when we rehearse and stuff. But you've read the whole script. What of the characters would you say that you have the most in common with, and what character traits would you have in common with them?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. And probably my temper is similar to Vincent's,
mm-hmm.
But only once I get to that point, then I get kind of violently, you know. But you know, I usually
you really get upset. You really get like really frustrated.
I can have a pretty bad temper.
Oh, okay. Wow, I've never seen that in you.
Right. Yeah. You know, so that's it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it usually takes a while to get me there, and when I get there, it's I think I lose some reason.
Mm.
You know, of course, Merrick being the hero, I'm a hero. So, well, no, not really.
Well, we'd all love to be.
Right, yeah.
But he's not exactly,
I'm
you know,
actually
the best example of a hero.
Right,
either.
Yeah, that's true. He's kind of an anti-hero. I guess I wasn't expecting that question. So, but, you know, Salos, in a weird way, I kind of grew up in an environment where that was not uncommon.
Mm.
So, like, even when I was a child, I was pretty sure that I was right about everything.
Mm,
and,
mm-hmm.
Somewhat very self-righteous in what I believed.
Mm.
But I wouldn't necessarily say I was as far, because my parents were pretty balanced on that. But the environment, I think, lent itself to that. And so I saw a lot of that. I guess I might have been more of the later Salos when he's doubting, because I kind of lived in that a lot of, like, I don't know, like, I believe this stuff, but, like, I don't know if it's all, like, there was definitely a lot of that doubt in
yeah.
me. You know, if I had to compare myself to a guy like Merrick, I would say I would definitely be that takes a while to get me there.
Hmm.
And you know, it took Merrick a little while to get past. Yeah, he had to have some pretty hardcore evidence.
Yeah.
And the first Spirit Blade, he had to have some pretty hardcore things like drop down on him to say where you got the Spirit Blade.
That was a similar similar journey for you. That you had kind of a transforming experience.
I'd never have had that kind of experience. I'd say probably.
Well, I don't mean like with people getting thrown out of buildings and stuff.
Right. Yeah. No, that hadn't happened. happened to me. But I guess I'm saying that, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking off the cuff here, but, like, if I, you know, it would probably, it would, it might have taken that kind of thing to make me come to it quicker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, gosh, this is a good question. I'm trying to think of the characters. We got Ran and we got...
I'm surprised that you said Vincent. I thought that was really interesting.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I
it's probably not completely that way because I'm not exactly some guy who's going and protecting everybody. So mm-hmm. I'm more of a guy who lets people kind of do what they do, and I kind of do what I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that compares to anybody.
Yeah. Well, I think there's bits. I think in all of us there's bits of these characters. Of everybody,
yeah.
You know. Okay, so you've. Now, for those of you listening, Sean has had a huge background. I mean, he's done everything from, you know, national TV and commercial work. He's done some film, and he's done some live theater. A lot of stuff in his background. I know that one of the commercials you did was voiceover specifically, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So talk a little bit about this, how this weekend and recording this was different from the other kind of work that you've done in the past.
Oh, wow. Well, it's not anything like the voiceover I've done because that's mostly been commercial work, and it's very, it's not as fun. but it's still, it
pays
still
better.
Has, it pays better. Yeah. Pays a lot better. it's but as far as just comparing it to theater or film, especially if you compare it to film, it's like a completely different medium because you're looking at with film, you're looking at so much is said with a look and with the environment that's been created visually on a film or a TV show. So film is probably the way the other side of the spectrum, you know, whereas theater is somewhere in between because you got to create a lot with words in theater because you're somewhere in the middle. You got your set and you got your thing, and there's looks that can be had in terms that speak volumes in theater, but a lot of times you're trying to communicate to the guy in the back row, so there's got to be some words that accompany it and that kind of thing. And with this, I found reading it, because I haven't done, like, animated series or anything like that. So I wasn't familiar with the medium until I started to read the script, and I realized, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of words here. That's a lot of
words. That's all we got, folks. That and some noises.
There we go. So... It's not about giving a look. You know, that nice pause and that look that you give someone, it doesn't really work in this medium. So not that pauses don't work, but, I mean, it's got to be in the voice. So you can't just, you know, like a lot of times what you'll do in a film is you're layering you're saying something to somebody but meaning something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's a lot harder to do with just a voice.
Was there anything? Did you find anything particularly challenging about doing this?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, it's similar because it's just kind of mapping out what you want to do as an actor or as the character, I should say. So you're just kind of mapping out how you want to get what you want, kind of using the actor speak, like getting what you want and like what's in your way and things like that. Just difficult. Probably what was more difficult or so different was just the amount, the volume of the words. So like trying to get that out, get those that volume of the words out without. It's trying to keep them interesting, and I haven't heard it back yet. So hopefully I succeeded, but trying to not, because it's kind of easy sometimes to like hit too many words or something like that, because you feel like you're sitting there, you're reading them, and you're trying not to hit them too hard or whatever, hit too many too hard, hit the right ones, but also just trying to get your emotion across or your need across or your want across in a vocal way, and not just in a look.
Yeah.
So there's something in that in the voice that's got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're scared of something, then it's got to be in the voice. You can't just pretend you're not scared and have a look that you're scared, because it's got to be in the voice somewhere.
Yeah. Staring wide eyed doesn't really get
right. Yeah. Exactly.
So okay, apart from doing a friend a favor, what made you want to do this and be a part of this?
I mean, part of it's just that I haven't done anything like this. Mm. And part of it's I really like the project. I mean, not to kiss up to the director or anything, but
no, please.
I really I think you've done a phenomenal job here, and you know, like just listening to the first Spirit Blade and just what you have accomplished with this first Spirit Blade, with the composition of everything. I mean, as an actor, I mean, you guys out there listening, I mean, as an actor, you walk in after everything, after it's been written, it's been conceived, it's been written, it's been put together. I come in and do my part. It's taken me 2 days to do this. Whereas there's been a volume of probably years or more's worth of work into this, and if you count what you're building on from Spirit Blade 1, there's I don't know how many years.
Yeah, I guess it's been a little while.
You know, and so I don't know if people really understand that what's actually being accomplished here in terms of, and then after I'm done, there's, you know, you got a lot of work.
I go to town for a while
to do, because hopefully I've made it hard for you and given you so many good choices.
Oh, yeah,
but
totally.
I may have not given you. You might have to cover up some of my lesser choices.
No.
I'm being falsely humble here, by the way, folks.
Hey, we've got.
I know that what I've done is brilliant, and my false humility is wearing thin, probably.
Well, it was awesome to have you be a part of it.
Thanks.
And I think people are going to be really creeped out by Salos and the performance you give. It's going to be a lot of fun. People are going to love to hate you a great deal. So thank you so much. And thank you also for hanging out for this interview. Once again, everybody, this is Sean Anthony Roberts, the voice of Salos in the upcoming project Dark Ritual at Spirit Blade Productions. Thank you again for taking the time to talk to me.
You are welcome. My pleasure.
Every word of God proves true. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.
Okay, today we are looking at the rest of the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Last week we took a close look at verses 34 through 38, so we're going to zoom back out and look at the chapter as a whole. Now, in the first half, Jesus is talking about the nature of himself as the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd metaphor has been used before in Scripture. God was called the Shepherd of Israel in Psalm 80, verse 1, and some of Israel's kind of crappy leaders were defective shepherds, and those are mentioned in Isaiah 56, 9 through 12. And Jesus makes the pretty intense statement here that everyone who has led the people of Israel, and that would be not including the prophets of God, since they served the Shepherd of Israel rather than doing the shepherding themselves. Everyone else who has led the people of Israel were thieves and robbers. That was pretty intense. And this especially would have rang true of the false religious leaders of the day who were lining their pockets with money given to the temple. You know, we shouldn't rush to make judgment today, but this is undoubtedly still happening in churches around us. You know, there are pastors, there are some great pastors out there, and there are also some that may start out with all humility, but they can be greatly tempted by power if they don't submit themselves to the authority of God and to others around them, like an elder board or some group of people that they are accountable to themselves. Left unchecked, these kind of, you know, high-powered, really attractive and charismatic, and I don't mean that in the terms of the denomination, I just mean very likable personalities, they can become false shepherds, like the hired hand that Jesus describes. Their interest is ultimately in themselves, and they will abandon the interests of the congregation ultimately to serve their own interests. So we want to look for good leaders, and good leaders are going to lead. They're not going to be wishy-washy. They are going to lead with standards bound by the truth of God's word, but they're also going to be self-sacrificing and humble as they are learning to be more like Jesus along with everybody else. Now, we would expect that they'd be further along in their journey, but we would also, than the average person that's attending the church. But we want to be under leaders that are on a journey themselves as well, that are trying to be more like Jesus. Because otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in trouble at a church where some guy is just kind of preaching his own thoughts and ideas instead of presenting the Word of God, which is the ultimate responsibility of a pastor. So I'd encourage you to kind of evaluate where you're at and look at the teaching that you're under and ask yourself, is this coming from the Word? Or is this just this guy's own ideas and thoughts and stuff like that? Is this his words, or is he really representing the truth of God? Because if that's not the case, then I would really encourage you to find a church where the Bible is really taught, and taught well, right from Scripture, because that is the ultimate source of knowledge. Let's see here. Jesus emphasizes life by saying that, you know, the sheep that are going to follow him, they're going to find pasture. They're going to find a source of sustenance. Jesus didn't come to make life boring and sterile and, oh, we got to follow these rules. Da-da. No, he came so that we can live life to the full. And all the commandments and the instructions that are for our lives, they're not just to make us these boring, rigid people, they're going to give us the most fulfilling life. If we love others, then we're going to be fulfilling our purpose, and we'll sense that, and there'll just be joy that we experience in our lives from loving others. And if we make better decisions, about how to handle our own lives, our possessions, all that kind of stuff, God knows that if we do things His way, life is going to be immensely fulfilling. And that's just in anticipation of a life that's beyond comprehension in eternity. So God wants us to get a taste of that, of eternity right here with a hugely fulfilling life on earth, and then experience it in full with Him in all of eternity. So don't get stuck in the thinking that, oh, like all these rules and stuff like that, it's all to just kind of make me, boring, you know? It's to give you the most out of life and out of what you're designed for. Now we also learned some things about real believers versus people that aren't really believers. He says that his sheep will never follow a stranger. That's from verse 5. In fact, in verses, if you look at 28 and 29, we see that real believers, they will never fall away from Jesus as a result of, say, a friend, a family member, a movie, a TV show, or whatever. The real believers are not going to fall away as a result of some of these other sources changing the way that they think. So if someone who seems to have been a believer in Christ falls away from belief in him, they likely never really knew him outside of an intellectual knowledge. And we want to tackle that word knew or know, because it can mean some different things in Scripture, depending on what word they're using. But the word being used in verse 14, when Jesus talks about his sheep knowing him, in the original language, it means to know through experience. So the real followers of Jesus are not people that only have just a head knowledge of him, an intellectual understanding of him and who he is. But the real followers of Jesus are those that that have a knowledge of him, but they also live life experiencing him. They're in prayer with him, and they're seeking constantly to imitate his life and to be like him. That's the signpost of a real believer. Now, we can't know ultimately, objectively, whether other humans are real believers in Jesus or not. I mean, every sign that I have tells me that my wife is a believer and a strong believer. But ultimately, I'm getting a little weird and, you know, metaphysical or philosophical here. Ultimately, I do not know objectively her spiritual condition. I do not know her soul. I cannot know that objectively. I'm not sure why I got off into that, but the point I'm making is it's probably very true that many people that attend church their entire lives are just kind of doing religion, and they've not really made the decision to really follow Christ. So that's something that, you know, I've been kind of challenged with, you know, recently is to figure out, okay, you know, I don't want to prejudge my friends around me and people that go to church with me and stuff like that, you know. It's kind of, you know, thinking about that over the last 6 months or so has kind of given me personally new perspective and just a desire to, because I ultimately don't know anyone else's, you know, spiritual, what's the word? My words have left me now. Status. There we go. Spiritual status. You know, what's the condition of their soul? Or do they really know Jesus? Have they really made that decision? You know, it's kind of motivated me to do whatever I can with those around me, whether I think of them as believers or unbelievers, to try and help them, you know, just through knowing me or whatever, you know, whatever little bit I can do without, you know, ramming anything down their throat, of course, but to just be available to help them learn more and know more about this God that I love and that I follow. Because you ultimately never know. And so the question that I would have for you today is, where are you at? Are you someone that was raised in the church and kind of thinks of yourself as Christian, but maybe you're not attending church now, or maybe you still are and you think of yourself as a Christian? What do you really believe? I mean, think about that for a minute. What do you really believe when it really comes down to it? Do you really believe in this God? Do you really believe that God came down in human form as Jesus Christ, and that he willingly allowed himself to be brutally tortured and killed so that there could be kind of a spiritual exchange going on, a purchase for your soul, a redemption for you through that act? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Or are these all these kind of ideas that you've just kind of nodded and smiled about over the years and just said, yeah, I believe that, but you've never really sat down and thought about it and asked yourself, do I really believe this? When it comes down to it, do I really believe this? This is cool stuff, and I'm going to dig, like I said last week, I really enjoy digging into Scripture myself in preparation for these podcasts. It helps me think about a lot of things in my own life and learn some more on my own as well, so it's doing a whole lot of good for me. But that's it for Chapter 10. This week, we're going to take a look at Chapter 11 next week. Once again, thanks so much for joining us. You can keep up to speed on everything going on at Spirit Blade Productions by going to www.spiritblade.net. There's a whole website there of cool stuff to check out, free downloads to grab, and a link to a weblog, which will actually take you, you'll gain access on after clicking on that to three different places: this podcast's page, the Spirit Blade Productions weblog, and my personal weblog, Peter's Brain. So be sure and check that stuff out. If you have any ideas, comments, or suggestions for this podcast, I would love to hear them, because I'm really new at this, and I want to make this as fun and cool and informative. And so send me an email at pater@spiritblade.net, pater@spiritblade.net. And I may read your suggestions or your thoughts on the podcast, so if you would like to have your name withheld, please ask for that in the email. So anyway, that's it for this week. We will see you, hopefully, next week. Until then, and in all things, please seek the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Banter is awesome. Banter is a crazy freak.